My name is Michael Robbins. I am the site administrator principal in Tuxix Bay, Alaska.
Can you describe your radio station just briefly? So, like, you know, what type of signal it is, and maybe just touch on how you use it.
Sure. We have a 10-watt radio station. 91.9 is our FM signal, and it was installed about a year and a half ago. And what it really does is, for us as a community, is it a way to get information out to our students and our staff and the people who live in Tuxix Bay. And we kind of came up with the idea that once we found that we could switch it back and forth between the feed that we get from Bethel and Chivec to our own local broadcasting, we thought that this would have many different opportunities for us as a school and as a community to communicate with our people who live in Tuxix Bay.
And how has the school and community used the radio station to stay connected during the pandemic specifically?
I think just local news coming from Bethel and news from Alaska is a constant theme that I hear back from our community members, is that they're more informed about, you know, Channel 2 does a great job of covering Alaska, but it doesn't necessarily cover the Delta. And KYUK does a great job of that. And our families feel more connected to people who live out here. And so that's number one. Two, it's a great school tool. I mean, when you can have a free opportunity to communicate with your students and your families. And we as a school, as part of a grant that we had the ability to buy a radio for every household in the village. And that instantly connected us to people in the community. And I think it's been great for us so far.
Let's talk about that piece for a minute. How many radios did you have to buy, and how much did it cost? Because I think that would be a necessary part of this program.
Sure. What we did was, this was actually a suggestion of one of the students at the end of last year. And he said, I really need an alarm clock. If I could just get an alarm clock, I would be on school on time. And I thought, okay, well, so we got him an alarm clock, and it was one of those alarm clock radios. And I was like, well, wait a minute. This was $9. We had to buy 120 of them for the village. So for $1,000, the price of one computer, we can be connected with everybody in the village. We can put ASB meetings on it. We can put tribal government meetings on it. We can have announcements. We can have student work and student stories. So I thought that was a pretty small price to pay to have instant connection, a free instant connection for the community and for us. And then there's so much more. You know, you can do volleyball games and basketball games, and, you know, the weather's sometimes not great, and elders don't want to come up to listen to a basketball game or watch a basketball game, but they're still interested. They're still interested in the school, and they're still interested in what their grandkids are doing. And so they can listen to a basketball game on Friday night. And so we thought about all those different things, and you know, some of the radio equipment. So I would say about $1,500, and that included the equipment that we needed to run the radio station and a radio for every household in the village.
Wow, that's amazing. And then how much work has it been producing programming? Because you guys are producing like multiple shows a week, it sounds like now.
KYUK has been tremendous in helping us. We have two interns, and they do an interview with a community member every week. We have people who are doing amazing things in our community, and sometimes they're just not highlighted enough, or, you know, it's a 10, 12, 15 minute interview. We play it every week for our students. We call it Islander Weekly, and we play it every day, every week for our students. And the third graders, then they wanted to jump on board and ask questions. And, you know, we created a cross curriculum type thing where they're on the radio and they write their own questions, and They research the people who are they're interviewing, and it's been a lot of fun for them, and they're excited, and you can see their confidence growing as they do it. And it's really been a very good thing, because a lot of things that we do in our community, people don't know about, right? They just have their daily lives, and they don't may not know that this exists. And that's been real good for us and for the school.
That's great. And how, I know you just talked a little bit about how you've engaged youth, but how do they, is there like a class that you have, or how have you kind of organized or facilitated that?
There is a class that they're taking. There's an internship class. They're working with Patrick Williams, who works down at our district office, and they've had this program for a couple years from what I understand. And we just, Patrick, when he found out that, you know, we have a live radio station and the ability to broadcast, he asked me if I had two kids that were willing to do it. And I did. And they are wonderful, Ethan and Peyton.
Do you have any advice for communities that are considering putting a low broadcast signal in their community, or in words of encouragement, maybe?
I think it's really been a very good thing. Like our tribal administrator, Robert, says, now it's just part of our community. You know, if you go into the city office, you can hear the radio playing. If you go to homes, you can hear it playing. It's just a great way to kind of connect your community. And it's from a school principal perspective, it is a tremendous asset to have that at any time I want, if I need to make an announcement, I can just call over the VHF and say, okay, everybody turn over to 91.9. We're going to have a school announcement in 5 minutes, and everybody has the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not using data. They're not calling in on a cell phone, like on a conference call, and punching in 15 different numbers. What you're trying to do is create less barriers for access to information. And that's exactly what the radio does. That's why it's been so popular for the last 100 years is it there's very little barriers other than turning on the power button and having a radio, which is, we took care of that this fall. And so now everybody is kind of on an equal playing field as far as information is concerned.
Awesome. And then I know that you are blending radio with Facebook Live. Can you just briefly talk about that? Like, you know, every time you broadcast, are you also broadcasting to Facebook Live, that kind of thing?
Facebook is very popular here in my village, and sure, in Western Alaska. So there's really two forms that we have. When we do have a radio broadcast, we also use it as a Facebook Live post or a post on Facebook so that there's a visual there, but it also it archives it. For example, we have stories in Yukton on the Nelson Island Facebook page that we did last year during the pandemic, and we had 6,000-7,000 views of our stories that were done in Yukton, and people listen to them. Even like we'll still get hits on our Facebook page from people watching our Yukton stories. And so our thought was that we can take those Yukton stories and put those on the radio also as part of a story time for kids, and they can listen, which, you know, helps preserve our culture, and it helps preserve those stories. We'll always have those stories.
Excellent. Okay, Michael, I feel like we've covered everything. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I apologize. I hope my answers weren't too long.
No, those are fantastic. That was great.
Okay,